Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us today. We are talking about home renovations again, backed by popular demand after we did that episode on black mold. If you haven't listened to that one, we will include the link to that podcast episode in the show notes. Her name is Tracy Ellis. She is the founder and CEO of Renovators Directory, the platform that brings together business owners in the renovation sector and consumers requiring their services. She is also the managing director of Tay Projects. Tracy has had a long career in construction and is well respected for her industry knowledge. That's why we thought we'll bring her back to this show on the topic of what to do when you are considering a knockdown and rebuild, i.e. the experts that you need to talk to. Welcome back on the show, Tracy.
Thanks, Michelle.
No worries. Thank you for joining us. So now we'll go straight to it. Let's imagine one of our money readers lives in New South Wales, and the house, if it were a car, was just a write-off. Can't do anything, and now we have to do a knockdown and rebuild. And they might ask, Tracy, who are the experts that we need to talk to once again build our home from scratch?
A big project. So it's essential to absolutely have the right experts on board. So starting with your selecting an architect who's going to come up with your plans for you. And it may be an architect, it may be a building designer, or you may even want to use a draftsman. And they all have different pros and cons, I suppose, and different price points for their services. Architects, if you're going with an architect, you need to do a little research on the style that they generally present to their clientele, and whether that is in keeping with what you are wanting to produce yourself. Building designers are a bit of experts at everything. They can design pretty much anything that you want. You need to be quite involved in the process and give clear direction as to the home that you're wanting to rebuild. And draftsmen are your cost-effective approach to coming up with your plans, I suppose, without all the bells and whistles that come with your architect or your building designer. So by engaging an architect or building designer, you also get the benefit of most of them will have a project management fee. And so they will be involved in your project and will work with your builder and will problem solve as construction commences and throughout your build. There will be issues that will arise that will need to be solved. And that doesn't mean that you're not involved in the process, because you certainly are. However, having an expert with industry experience who deal with this stuff on a daily basis and with the click of their fingers can say, yes, right, okay, let's turn this here, let's do this with this angle, and that will solve our problem over here. And you can stand there in awe and go, well, that was great. However, if you don't have them involved in the process, you need to try and sort that out with your builder. And that can take a little bit longer. The builder is there to build the plans that you give them. So if something comes up and you're asking them to solve the problem, that is not generally their problem. Now, some builders do come with drafting services. They do have a lot of stuff in-house, some people, but not all. So where one builder can solve it because they may have an in-house architect or an agreement with their architect or draftsman that they work with, or you may be building one of their typical styles of home, so it's one of the generics. It's certainly something to think about, though.
I can already imagine the conversation between a builder and a non builder or just an ordinary person going, you know, that board, you know, you have the architect knows the language. And I think in part, you're paying for that so that you are articulating what it is that you want, but also what went wrong, for example. So number one, yes, is the architect. Mm-hmm. Number two is the builder. Now, It's 2022. There are builders that are going bust, for example, Tracy, or construction companies are going bust. Any tips for our listeners on this?
It is a scary one, and I do feel for both homeowners building and for builders, to be honest, because it's murky waters for both, I suppose. Builders can't control what is happening in the marketplace with product. That is outside of their control. And the flow-on effect as it goes back to the homeowner. But thoroughly researching your builder is something you need to do up front. Be guided by your architect, you know, say, okay, who is this person? How long have they been around for? How many homes have they built? Ask them the question. So if we see a huge spike in XYZ building products, what happens? What's the flow-on effect? So talk it through at the start so that you know what's going to happen. Don't just cross your fingers and hope that product isn't going to go up, because it will. We've all been told that. It's been all through the news. Talk through with the builder and the architect together if you can. What happens if the worst situation happens? What if you go bust, what happens?
Yes.
What do I get back? Am I left with... how much do I lose? I'm left with the shell. How do I, if I'm not even at lockup stage, how do I bring in another builder if that happens to you? Talk it through with them and see what they say to you, because you'll find after you talk those tricky situations through, and depending on how they answer, will give you some sort of security.
Yes.
Or it'll raise some red flags.
Yes. Now, as part of the money team, I'm quite comfortable looking at cash flow and P&L. And in my head, I just want to talk to the builder and say, just show me your P&L. Let me look at your expenses this month and see if you've got enough cash to build my house. Now, in reality, you can't ask someone to show them your P&L.
Nice.
So in the absence of that, Tracy, it is quite scary. You see it in the news, you know, houses that are half done and the, you know, nothing to do after that. But surely there must be a way that a builder can give you assurances that they're not going to go bust in 3 months.
Look, I haven't heard of any particular clauses that are being introduced into the contracts, because that just, I suppose, increases the risk for the builders.
Yes.
Whether that may be something that is going to eventuate in the future, that is going to be necessary, that we see in our contracts, because we can't have the building industry collapse. It's one of the biggest sectors in the country.
Yes, biggest employer in the country for sure.
Absolutely. And I think that will progress, and we will see that evolve, because we are in for, as we know, we've been told, it's not easy times at the moment. And there needs to be some sort of solution here. I don't have the answer to that, but I do believe, starting with someone who is reputable to begin with, or let's look at the flip side of that. Starting with someone who you think is a bargain, who's quoted your house.
Yes.
And you think, I'm winning here.
Yes.
I'm winning. This is great.
30%.
He's so much cheaper than everyone else. However, he won't give me any referrals that I can talk to. I haven't seen any of his other houses, but I know this guy is going to save us a lot. Well, newsflash, you are going to drown.
Yes.
It's not going to work. I had one of my commercial clients told me a story, called me again, not a great story, something they did themselves, an extension on their home. We do work at their
without
their
council
hotel.
Permit.
And yeah, and they said, oh, Tracy, can I just, I just need to call you to vent. And I said, yeah, sure, what's wrong? And oh, look, we've put this on and we got this guy and we've did this and we're halfway through. He's got $45,000 of ours and we can't get him. We can't get him back. And I said, okay. I said, A, why didn't you call me to begin with? So I could have helped you a little bit, not with the build, but with walking you through the steps.
Yes.
And he's not a fool, this man. He's very knowledgeable. And I said, did you know? I said, how much cheaper was he than the other two quotes? And he said, a lot. He said, I had a feeling. And I said, that feeling that you talk about, go with your gut. That feeling,
yes,
doesn't generally flip around. There's not many stories where it flips around and you hear when you're at social functions, yes, I got this guy on board. You wouldn't believe how much money I saved. Michelle, have you heard any stories like that? I certainly don't. I never hear stories like that,
yes.
Sadly. I wish I did. That would be lovely if I did, but it's not real.
If someone gives me a discounted quote, I run in the opposite direction because I know that person is probably not going to deliver. You can sense, and definitely so go with your gut feeling and always go with what sounds like a reasonable quote.
And really research. Ask if someone does a really good job and they have a reputation in the industry, they've built a lot of quality homes, they're very happy to hand over referrals. And they'll say, yeah, sure, call these people. I did them in the last year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever.
Yes.
And not just three, ask for five. And ask, do you mind if I call them and have a chat with them? And they should be happy.
Yes.
To give over that information. I know I'm always happy to give over any of my client, with my client's permission, of course,
yes.
To say, yeah, sure, if they're happy to receive a call from you, I'm happy for you to talk to them about us and how we perform and how we problem solve, because not everything goes well. It just doesn't. Stuff goes wrong, sadly. It never is smooth sailing.
I like that. Get at least five referrals. And if they're good, they'd be happy to do so. All right. So we've talked about the architect, the builder. Now let's talk about subcontractors.
So when you have your builder on board, your builder will manage your subcontractors. Where homeowners come a little bit undone here is where they say, okay, I just want you to do the build, but I'm going to, let's exclude, say the kitchen. I'm going to do the kitchen myself. And I'm going to do the bathroom. We'll pick those two because they're easy to talk about. I mean, not easy to do. And they'll go, okay. So they will remove that from the contract. They'll tell you not to, but you might get some who will. So you then have to organize for your kitchen, your joiner, your plumber, your electrician, all of your appliances. And if something doesn't fit, you have to sort it out. However, if you have that part, the kitchen is in the contract with the builder to look after, the builder has to sort it out.
Yes.
If you do it, the builder will say, guess what, Michelle? You said you wanted to do it. It's your problem because I'm not making any money off your kitchen. It's not my problem. It's your risk. It's not my risk. And they're little ways that people try to make savings, I suppose, which do sound like a good idea at the time. Or I'll look after the flooring myself.
You just say this and already I'm like going, oh no, no, no.
Even flooring is another one. You know, putting carpet in sounds easy, doesn't it? I'll organize a carpet layer myself. That sounds easy enough. However, the builder says, no, Michelle, you can't have your carpet layers come in when our painters haven't finished doing. There's a process.
Yes.
Tradies don't like working over the top of each other. They don't work well over the top of each other. They need space to do their work. When you start to come in and go, well, on Monday the 16th, I'm coming in and I'm going to, my guy's going to do the carpet. That's what I'm going to do. Well, guess what? It won't go well. And there will be problems. And it may be you'll get paint on your carpet.
Tracy, you're just throwing these lines where I feel like you can write a book on all these things that people say, look, I'll do the tiles myself, you know, or I'll do the fence myself, or, you know, it's just painting the ceiling, you know, those kind of things. Mm. So I guess we've covered those are the three key considerations. Talk to an architect, a reputable builder, the subcontractors working with the builder, ideally. And then finally, this is the big one. The fees. So can you share what should people prepare for when it comes to discussing fees with these providers, service providers?
It can vary. It really can. There's no hard and fast rules. We'll start with the draftsman, or draftsperson, I should say, is possibly the more correct way to say that these days. We'll generally give you a fixed fee. Okay, so, but there's without all the beautification. So you get your plans. That's it. They'll give you a fixed fee generally. Building designers and architects will take a percentage of the overall project. And that can be a little bit frustrating as a homeowner because you think, well, okay, well, how does that work? If you're doing plans for $1 million house or a $2 million house, aren't plans plans? That can be sometimes hard for people to get their mind around. that they get a percentage. Some may do partial fixed and partial percentage. And it's just a matter of talking that through. If you have found a building designer or an architect who you think, I can feel myself working really well with them. I really like them, but I'm struggling with the fees. Again, talk it through. Communication will solve everything. So if you talk it through with them, get an understanding of the fee, they will say to you, okay, this is what's involved. We get this, 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 and this done. And then you start to understand where their fees come from. And they will say, you know, that involves us coming to site and solving and checking on the different stages of the project and ensuring everything is in order. And then you will understand, and then you can make a decision based on all of, guarded with that information. But not every architect and every building designer and every draftsperson work exactly the same.
To me, and I know that I'm simplifying this, but when I buy an investment property, you think, all right, you have the purchase price plus X percent on top just to get things done. So when I'm thinking about what you just said, I would say, if I were to do a knockdown and rebuild, and this is the cost of the house, I probably have to save up maybe between 10 and 20% on top of that to get things happening with an expert team. Does that sound about right? Or
yeah, absolutely. But remember, you've also got your variation at the end of your build. Most people, in the best of, prior to COVID, you always have a variation as you're making selections through your build. And most of us see something that's a bit nicer than what has been allowed for, and we go, we'll just go for that. We won't do it again. We'll just take that next step up in the tapware, for example, or in the timber flooring, we might go for, instead of the base that they've allowed for, that beautiful spotted gum. I really want that timber flooring through my home. So where we used to have our, you know, had a bit of an idea on our variation bill at the end of a build, with the product price increases and all where we are with the world at the moment, it's so much more. And if you can, prior to your build, and this is a way that homeowners can get really involved in their build without rolling up their sleeves and doing the doing, I suppose, like a lot of people like to do, is create a scrapbook folder and start to make those selections prior to, if you're looking at building next year or another 12 months, start to make those selections at the start. So you have more of an idea what you are. If you want that spotted gum timber flooring, say that. So the builder can actually price it exactly and meet your product rather than make an allowance for timber flooring, which is broad.
Yes.
From a base timber product to a premium product, it's broad. And you can work through all those. Do you want stone bench top? Do you want laminate bench tops? What sort of tapware? You can go through and make all those selections, and you can create your scrapbook, get your pictures, provide the links to the builders. And then when they're quoting, they are making you fine tune your spend the more information that you can give them. And then you don't have this huge bill at the end, which will blow your mind.
I think I'm going to save the best for last. You talked about the building designer, but the merits of having an interior designer, because again, YouTube has exploded with all these DIY interior design tips, for example. And I must admit, I am one of those people who watch those interior design videos. Any thoughts on that?
The benefit of an interior designer is they know a lot of the product that's available, and there is so much choice in product, where you might source a product, say, you're putting tiles, using a feature tile, and you think, I just love this tile, it's fantastic, it's expensive, but I'm going to do it. I love it. I have to have it. Your interior designer will go, do you know that almost that exact product is available in the brand of whatever, but it's nowhere near as expensive. It's the same look. It's the same feel. The difference is this. Did you have a look at that? And you'll say no. So they know the products. They know the vast array. They can, be devil's advocate for you and say, did you think about this or what about that? Or if we put that there, but what about that? They will work through, again, the problem solving and achieving the style and the design and all the beautification, I suppose, of your home that you're trying to achieve.
And finally, because we are in the business of writing about money, if you get it right, you have a higher chance of having attracting a higher valuation or equity value for your house. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That goes without saying. Yes. Just, yeah. Higher value than your home, higher return when it comes time to sell it. It's certainly much more polished, and it's certainly a worthwhile investment.
Fantastic. That's great to hear. Now, we'll have to call it a day there. But again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your insights, Tracy. It's been fantastic talking to you about, you know, all these things about building your dream home.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks again for having me.
Now, before we go, don't forget that if you enjoyed listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover to our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.